Miss any of Today FM Breakfast with Grant, Ed and Ash? Download the Today FM app and get the Catch Up podcast now.
Ladies and gentlemen.
104.1.
Hello, good morning. How you doing?
Today FM.
Hello, podcast. Well, it's really sort of a different undulating show today, I would say.
Undulating. Ups and downs, ebbs and flows, highs and lows.
Great variety. I would have said,
yeah.
Light and shade.
Yeah,
that's a big radio.
That was amazing,
mate. You are being indoctrinated. would you have ever said? No, you would have said it at sunrise. Light and shade.
Yeah, light and shade. It is a media ingredient. You're right, but the real word does not use it at all.
Oh, she's sweet but a psycho.
But psycho.
Enjoy the show today, guys. It was a cracker. Trust us, and don't trust us. Listen to the podcast, and that will prove it.
Trust is built.
Trust is earned.
Light and shade.
Hang on, trust is built or earned?
Earned.
Earned, I think.
Houses are built.
Yeah.
It's the same. You thinking?
Yeah, you build trust.
Yeah,
with
you
someone.
Can.
Build
I guess it kind of works.
Oh, yeah.
But then trust is earned.
But the saying's earned, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Like you build trust
it's
with
two
someone,
parts
but then.
To
what do you think, Grant?
Yeah.
As the wordsmith?
Trust is built and trust is also earned. It can be two things if I've learned anything today. It can be two things.
Well done.
Today FM Breakfast. Maybe it's a brand new day. Grant Denyer, Ed Cavalli and Ash London.
1, 2, 3,
go!
The rest of my life gonna start today.
Good morning, Sydney. Welcome to Grant, Ed and Ash. Cracking start to what will be, no doubt, a magnificent week ahead because I'm with you humans.
And oh, that's nice.
You came out of the blocks hard.
Yeah, I was thinking because I love that song. I truly adore when it says the rest of my life's going to start today. Yeah, man.
Because that would be part of your spiritual teachings, wouldn't it?
Like it is.
Because now is the only time that exists,
exactly,
so why not be
right.
in the
you
now?
You have to be in the moment.
May
it
I
starts
borrow $200?
Now. No, you can't, because do you know what? I listened to a podcast yesterday with Oprah Winfrey and Byron Katie, and they talk about clear is kind and how you can't let yourself be taken advantage of. So if someone asks you, like Oprah was saying, my problem is that all of my family come and ask for money. She's like, $100,000, what do I say? And she just
says, yes, because you're Oprah and you've got
lots and lots of millions. No, but she's been taken advantage of. She goes, no, I won't give you that money. But I really need it. I know, but I'm not going to give it to you. Clear is kind, Ed Cavalli. Clear is kind.
Wow. Ernie. Very philosophical start of the morning.
Yeah. Remember Ernie Dingo?
Yeah.
He travelled the country, right? And his producer would have to carry his money for him because everywhere he'd go, he would get asked for money. And part of the culture was you share, you say yes. And so he would have to hand that money over. See, he literally never had a wallet on him, so he didn't have to hand over his cash.
Well, we have learned a lot, friends.
Here you go. Just tune out now, guys. Turn the radio off.
See you tomorrow. Now, we are going to be speaking to Terry Newell from the Dirty John documentary.
Pretty cool.
The actual person.
She is the hero of this whole documentary. The whole up until the last 10 minutes of the thing, you don't realise. And then, boom, she swoops in and becomes the Harrison Ford.
How sweet is her voice? To think that she managed to negotiate her way through this scenario.
Very well done, though. You're learning.
So if you've listened to the podcast, if you watch the series, you've got to keep it on the show because we will chat to Terry Newell. That's going to happen.
Wait,
after
I have one
eight.
More question before we go. Is that the first time you've worn that shirt? Your Hugo Boss t-shirt?
Yeah, why?
Because you haven't ironed it and still got all the box creases on it.
That's okay. Dude.
Like it's straight out of the box and he's put it straight on.
I have.
Good,
fresh
man.
Is best.
Trouble in Paradise.
Uh-oh.
You're going to work now and you're thinking, geez, you know, this might be slightly early to get to work. Grant, Daniel, when you work on Sunrise, what time does workday start?
It depends. Girls will get in there about sort of 3:45.
Ooh.
Yep. That's the girls on air, which means the makeup artists and the stylists would get in there earlier than that because of the setup.
Very, very early on.
It's a troubling story.
They used to arrive at 5:59 and a half.
You did? Which really, we were good. And then, but what about when you're on the road?
I turn up about 15 minutes before. That's fine.
It's not bad.
Yeah, it's good.
And if you're not on air till 6:30, that means you know.
I'd roll out of the car, it would barely come to a stop, and then I'd stand in front of the lights and the camera and go, right, where are we?
Where are we? The head of the network's wardrobe and makeup departments have complained to 7 bosses about the behaviour of personalities, including Sunrise anchor, Samantha Armitage and her on-air colleague, Natalie Barr. veteran newsreader Ann Sanders, they had to have internal meetings to address issues between talent and the wardrobe and makeup department.
What had happened, Ed Cavalli?
Oh, well, apparently they'd run out of concealer. Now, is that bad, Ash? Is that
yeah?
Is
well, that concealer a covers screaming? Wrinkles and pimples and tired eyes. I would imagine that when you know
at that time of the morning
when you got dark circles. Yeah,
I mean, with my youthful glow, I don't need it. Obviously, I just look this good every morning with sans concealer.
You're radiant.
Now, Grant, when you were over there, I mean, we know that it's very fractured. Is this the end? Is this the beginning of the end?
Oh, it's not good. If you're starting to... Well, it says here that they apparently consistently talk down to staff and have cracks at the makeup department for not having enough stocks. And if this is bringing around, this is a hashtag first world problems.
It is. But
like, how much money is Samantha Armytage probably making, do you reckon? Ballpark.
I'd go...
probably 15 grand at Uber Eats about that.
A lot of money, though, right?
I'd say 600 to 800.
Okay, bring your own concealer, doll. Just go to Priceline.
It's a good point.
And if you're really that hard, you know, just go and get your own.
This does happen, though, when TV divas start blowing up. I've actually been on this. I got some exclusive audio from the makeup room at Dancing with the Stars.
Did you?
Yeah, no. One of the hosts left their mic up, and this is what was said.
I'm TV's Grant Denyer. I got a gold loogie for a show that got axed. Uh-huh. And I demand to have the spray-on beard that I use for this show because I can't grow one because I'm 7 years old.
Wow.
How did you get that?
That sounded so official,
There's a mole at Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, my God.
I would look into that. Someone's recording you, Grant. That's not good enough.
I can't trust anybody anymore. Guys, I got the best news in the world last night. Don't know whether you saw Hughesy's Have You Been Paying Attention, but he has solved a lot.
That would
life.
Be the wrong name of the show.
What?
Hughesy, we have a problem.
Oh. I did too. I've combined your show with
the two best shows on Channel
10. It'd be hard to watch, wouldn't it? I don't know if you saw Leaving Neverland with Hughesy last week.
Hughesy, we have a problem.
Yeah, gotcha.
That's the one. Is that after takeaway?
It was after takeaway, yes.
Yeah, right.
Okay. So you didn't hang in there? You didn't make it through takeaway to see the show last night?
No.
Well, remember, you guys did me all sorts of damage by deciding it was a great idea to bring in a psychic to tell me that I was going to die in a car accident, a car racing accident.
We should point out that neither Ed nor myself would ever go and see a psychic or a clairvoyant,
okay.
But you see them voluntarily in your private life. So
yeah, well,
if anyone brought it in.
Thank you.
Well, I didn't bring her in. I only go to psychics to give you good news.
It tells you what you want to hear.
Exactly right. So she came in. I don't remember. This is quite a few months ago. She said that I am going to die in a car racing accident and that's going to be the end of me. So
she saw a fatalistic conclusion.
She did. Correct, Amundo.
Nice way to say it.
Says dead to me.
Yeah.
So I had to go to somebody else who's on another radio show to find some help and some comfort and solace that my life is going to be okay. And last night I found it.
Now, Harry, you have been backstage. You've been backstage with Grant, haven't you? Have you got a reading for this man?
You know, I do. And it's really interesting to hear you talk about this because obviously in life a lot of people are scared of things. And I think that it can be a self-fulfilling prophecy. So you don't want to actually manifest that in your life.
No.
I actually don't think that you'll be dying in a car accident, though.
Okay. is that an official psychic prediction that we can use at any time in the future?
You can use it as much as you want.
Thank you, Harry T.
Wait a second.
Psychic to the stars.
No, Doug.
I like that better.
If you listen to what he's saying, what he's saying is if someone tells you something and then you go along with it and talk about it, you manifest it. So then he's giving you something else to manifest, which is you're not going to die, so that you will then take that and fulfill that prophecy. So he hasn't told the future. He's simply saying, believe you're not going to die and then you're not going to put it out into the universe and you won't die. I could have told you that for free.
Manifesting. So if I put it out that I want to win Lotto this week, I will just win it.
That's you know, in the hands of the Lotto gods. I'm talking about things that you can actually change, like you might drive a bit safer and you know.
Well, all I heard was, you're going to be good, man. Go hard.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So what you're going to have to do now is get a third opinion. Does the 7:30 report have a psychic? Or,
yeah. He's going to keep going shopping around all the psychics.
One 6:31 Today FM.
Destiny with the Stars, 7:30 tonight. Hey. We're only a couple of weeks in. It is a cracking return of this wonderful format to Australian shores. One of our magnificent brand new judges joins us right now, Shana Burgess.
What's up, everybody?
I love that you just sang Shana. You know how Jason Derulo has like, Jason Derulo.
Not allowed
you
to do that.
You can record that. You're not allowed to do it to Jason anymore.
You're not allowed to say that when you interview him, Shana. Don't mention that he used to sing his name.
Really? He's a band now.
He's moved on.
That's how he became famous.
He doesn't want to know.
Have you ever danced with Jason Derulo, Shana?
I have actually.
Hey. Oh.
He's a very good dancer.
Yeah, he's amazing. Really talented. And also really nice guy.
Yeah.
Didn't sing his name though, otherwise he would have gone south quickly.
I did not, and I'm now very glad that I didn't. That could have been awkward.
So how long have you been, because you're Australian obviously, but how long have you been in America dancing?
I've been in America nearly 8 years now. Dancing with the Stars picked me up at sometime in 2011.
Because you won the most recent American series.
I did.
You won the whole thing.
Yeah.
Who did you win it with?
Yeah, who was your partner?
So Bobby Bones, he's massive in the world of country music over there, has his own radio show. He gets like 5 million listeners every morning.
That's half of us.
Yeah. It's literally half of our country.
Was he a country gentleman? When you know a lot of those like country stars call you darling and hold the door open?
No, he's not a typical country dude. But he's also now a mentor on American Idol. Massive, great personality.
You made him famous then. You propelled him, didn't you, Sean?
Did I what?
You propelled him to the next level of fame.
Absolutely. That's I would say that his career is all due to me, really.
I love that.
How are you enjoying settling in the judging seat now for the first time here in Australia?
I'm honestly loving it. It's been amazing. You know, having been on the other side of it now for, 8 years, I feel like I have a really interesting perspective, and I understand how much these guys just want some validation when they get there after everything they've done that week.
Yeah.
But I also understand how much they need to hear the critique so they know where to go and what we're looking
for.
Not
only that, you feel it. Like, you were a little bit teary last week. A lot of tears.
I love dance, and I'm an emotional person.
I love dance.
And there are certain things, like one of my favorite things when it comes to creating and also observing and watching dance is truth in it, right? And so last week we had our most memorable year, and we have people like Samuel coming out and giving absolutely everything in their heart to that movement and every single move, and I can't help but feel it. I can't help but be emotional about it. I affectionately say it just punches me in the heart, and then like I have to like catch up and recover from it.
Shana, I've always said that dance is meaning through movement. Would you agree?
Wow, it was very profound of you right now.
Thank you so much.
I would actually agree.
Thank you so much. I really love it.
How does a girl from Wagga Wagga end up dominating the world of dance in LA? Like, that's quite a leap.
Honestly, it's a really good question. I'm not entirely sure how I got here, but it was when I was competing as a young teenager, I was in the high level. Like, I went to the World Championships when I was 15. Represented
Australia. Ballroom dancing?
In ballroom dancing.
Gotcha.
And I started with all the styles. I started with jazz and ballet and tap and everything when I was a kid. But as a teenager, mum and dad couldn't afford to keep me in everything, so I chose ballroom, notoriously the most expensive style. Well done, me. But by the time I was 18, I knew that I had to basically chase it to where the best were in the world. And I packed a suitcase, saved up money, bought a ticket and moved to London on my own. Mum and dad were like, I'm sorry, excuse me, where
That's
are you going?
So gutsy.
And moved over there and competed because the world championships were held over there. All the world's best coaches were over there. All the best inspirations. You know, I was waiting for those VCR tapes to come over in the mail originally so I could watch these guys competing
over
there.
And now you can see it.
And I was like, nah, I'm going over. So I was over there and I thought I'd be gone for 2 years. And somehow 2 years ended up being 16. I got picked up to go on world tours with an Aussie show called Burn the Floor, which a lot of our kids
are from.
Burn
the Floor.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
That's a good show.
I thought you were like 25.
Me? No, I'm 33.
I'm doing the maths in my head and I'm like, 16 years? She's not 25.
She started when she was 3?
Not that it matters how you look, but you don't look 20. 30, that's amazing.
I'm really...
Wait a second, I'm 33. I don't look like you. Wait a second.
Oh, speaking of the international superstars around the world that you've come across and being in LA for so long, have you ever come across Wade Robson, who's in the Finding Neverland documentary, who was a kid from Brisbane? Have you ever met? Do you know him?
Yeah. Wade and I aren't necessarily great friends. I wouldn't even say that we're text each other and say, hey, let's go for coffee. Yeah. But I've certainly worked in the same circles as him. I've worked on So You Think You Can Dance a lot over in America. And he has been on that show. And I was a big fan of his creatively.
Yeah.
Especially going back years ago, I'm very inspired by some of the work that he'd done. I felt like his mind just worked in a different way.
It's very brave of him now to come forward with this documentary.
Did you ever hear him sort of talk or say anything about his experiences with Michael Jackson?
No, I mean, it wasn't really the conversation that he'd have just sitting around the cafeteria table at So You Think You Can Dance. But you could always tell that he was a little bit different. His creativity even had a darkness to it. You know what I mean? There was something different but also special about this guy. But at the time, I never even paid any attention nor knew the rumors about all this stuff. And obviously, the couple of years ago when they had the first trial coming out. And the whole dance industry was mad at him. Like, think about this guy.
Really? They were mad at him.
What?
Because my MJ's the king.
MJ's the king. And the whole idea, when I say the whole dance industry, I mean majority, right? The people that want to bark the loudest. Obviously, his friends were with him. But the dance industry was so mad at him for putting a stain on Michael's name because Michael influenced so many young dancers.
Of course. That would have been the foundation for most professional dancers, but at some time in your life.
I was that kid rewinding Thriller and copying the dance moves. Like, most of us were inspired by him. You also wouldn't have Justin Timberlake as Justin Timberlake if you didn't have Michael Jackson.
It also speaks to how difficult
it was
for
many
him.
People. Exactly right.
It speaks to why it was so difficult for him to eventually come forward.
And you can see it. Like, if you don't watch the fourth hour of that documentary, then you're not actually seeing everything. It was the last hour that me where I was like, I don't know where to go with this right now.
So true. Well, it's on 10 Play. And speaking of 10, tonight, 7:30, Dancing with the Stars. It's breakout star Shana Burgess. Now, at 13:10:60, you've brought in a double pass for people. These are sold out tickets. Grant Denyer, you've got a double pass. So if you'd like to go along to tonight's show.
Yep. I've got two spare double passes. They are my own stash.
Well, what I did there is you were listening before that. What I did is I pretended one was from Shana.
One was from Shana.
So that you could have one as well.
Well, you just ripped that away from me, didn't you? That's awesome.
Sorry to put up with this, Shana.
You're going to get him once a day. This every day for me.
If you want to go along tonight,
I don't know how you do it. I really don't.
13:10:60 to be there, Shana Burgess. Thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me, guys.
48 Today FM.
Miss any of Today FM Breakfast with Grant, Ed and Ash? Download the Today FM app and get the catch-up podcast now.
Ladies and gentlemen. 104.1.
Hello, good morning. How you doing?
Today FM.
Today FM's Alpha Bucks.
Alpha Bucks.
This is Today FM Breakfast Grant Monday, as good as any day to give away 10 grand with Alpha Bucks.
Sure is. And one of the things I love about this show is sometimes we have the chance to do some good, you know, to help people out who need it. And right now, Charlotte from Oyster Bay is ready to play Today FM's. How are you, Charlotte?
Good, thank you. Good, thank you. I promised my husband that I was going to ring you guys until I won the excess.
Okay.
So what do you mean excess?
What happened?
So someone hit his car last week in North Sydney. I don't live in North Sydney, so I can say that. Okay. And it's so bad. You can't even get into the door. So they know they did it.
Mm. Oh, and they drove off, did they?
They drove off, definitely.
I hate that.
So rude. Now,
terrible.
What's your excess? What are we aiming for here?
500.
Okay. That's our target. Yeah. You ready to go?
You should say, Charlotte, you're a school teacher, so you should be pretty good at Alpha Bucks.
So don't put the pressure on.
Okay, sorry. Okay.
So you've got 30 seconds to answer 10 questions, and all your answers must start with the letter S today. S for sailor.
Okay.
For each question you get right, 100 bucks is yours, 10 grand if we can do it all. Here we go. Okay. The letter is S. Best of luck. Name an NRL team.
Storm.
An Arnott's biscuit.
Sayo.
A phone app.
Pass.
An airline.
Singapore.
A tool.
Saw.
A Beyonce song.
Pass.
A Sydney suburb.
Sydenham.
An insect.
Stick insect.
Shampoo brand.
Pass.
Male actor.
Now, the ones you did answer, you answered very quickly and very well. That was impressive.
No, I just couldn't think about the other one.
Good pace. Shampoo brand. We could have gone with a little bit of Sunsilk, maybe some short
I know. I couldn't think. Too much pressure.
Beyonce song.
single letters.
Of course.
Okay, you don't need to tell me now.
But you know what? You came here to win $500 to pay the excess to get your partner's car fixed. And guess what? Yep. You got $600
today. Yay! Okay, I'm very happy.
That was an easy transaction. Well done, Charlotte.
Easy. Thank you so much.
Now, can I just say, Charlotte, you're a hero because you're a good member of the family. But you got $100 left over, so make sure you spend it on yourself on something silly, all right?
Absolutely, I'm going to. Don't worry.
Go get a mani-pedi or something.
You did your kids proud today at school, so there'll be no ridiculing in the playground. Well done.
$10,000 on the line again tomorrow, Alpha Bucks. We do it every single morning at 7
and
on the show.
And we should say that the next cheating scandal has erupted on Maths, and we've got the little lady stuck in the middle. Tamara is going to be on the show next. Now, if you're not watching Mass, I'm going to give you a very quick rundown for our next guest.
Hit
Jessica. She's the one with the big lips and the curly hair. Oh, no, now she's straight. She was with Mick.
Yep.
And they were just at the start.
He's a bloke that says cobber all the time, ocker.
Mm-hmm. Aussie. And then the intruders came halfway through.
Yep.
And Tamara was with Dan. And Tamara and Dan hit it off straight away. It seemed like love was blossoming. Neck minute. Dan and Jessica. Jessica's had a couple of shardies. Tongue is down the throat.
Ooh.
Cheating scandal erupts.
Whoa.
She looks like an idiot. And so does he, Jessica and Dan.
He meant me for watching.
Tamara, the lady stuck in the middle of it all, in the studio right now. Welcome, darling.
Well, thanks for having me.
Now, was that a fair, that was a wonderful wrap-up by
our lovely
Ashton. Was that about how you saw it as well? You rocked up with Dan and now he's cheating on you.
Basically, yeah.
Unbelievable.
I thought you guys were getting along well. The relationship fired up pretty quick. Did you get on first night?
No, we didn't.
You said you did on the show. You told the Kiwi that's obsessed with sex that you two did it on the first night.
We did not.
You said on telly you did.
Defend yourself, Tamara.
We didn't. Not on the first night, no.
But it was progressing well.
We were getting along, yeah. I can't sit here and say we weren't. We actually connected and I think it was like, you know, we were giggling, we were laughing, we were having a good time, getting to know each other.
His family hated you.
Well, so it would seem.
Yeah. Did you know when you were sitting there having the food at the beautiful plastic furniture, did you think, geez, these people hate me?
Do you know what? I actually didn't feel that at all.
But they did.
Yeah.
But then you watched it back. Well, and
I watched
it back.
Yeah.
Was that only made sense then?
Yeah. So I actually thought that Dan's family were lovely. Oh. And I thought that, you know, I was being told, you know, that they love me and I was such a beautiful person. And then I watch it back and I'm like, okay. Thanks.
They were having a real swing.
Bloody editing.
Yeah.
You did say that Dan knew Innes from the Goldie, which is how he got into the show. Surely that's a bad sign from the start, though.
Well, I never got the chance to meet Innes, so I have no idea.
You didn't know what we knew.
I had no idea what was going on. But that was the only reason I knew I was going to be an intruder is because...
Innes told Dan.
Well, I'm not sure exactly how that played out, but yeah.
Do you think Innes knows how to use a phone? Someone might help her.
So
when Jess kind of stole your husband, the charlatan, the marriage killer herself, how devoed were you? Is she a real piece of work?
Hang on a sec. How devoed were you? On a scale of 1 to devoed?
Well, I mean, you know, from what we've seen, I had no idea this was going on. Yeah. So I watched it all play back just like you guys did. And I just thought,
hurtful.
How rude.
But darling, girl to girl, you don't care about falling in love. Surely you didn't go, you really didn't meet Dan and go, oh, I'm going to get married. I'm just going to be so happy. So really, you get angry because you've been made a fool of, but you're not angry because you thought you could have had kids with this guy. She's like,
no, I'm angry because him and I did have a great friendship and he betrayed my trust.
Gotcha.
Yeah, he did do that.
Yeah. So
that never feels
what hurt.
Now, we've got Jessica on the line. Oh, no, she's dropped out. Okay, so
why would you do that to me right now?
Where did you want to put her before? Where should we put her? Put her in the bin.
In the hard rubbish or the recycling?
Any
or
bin will do. I don't really care.
Even the green bin. My God.
In the green bin.
I don't know if silicon is recyclable. Okay, so if Jessica was here right now, let's say that Grant Daniel was Jessica, because they have a lot in common.
Hello.
What would you want to say to Jessica? Get it all. They do this in therapy sometimes where they sort of substitute the person that it's really about for someone else.
Real therapy, not fake therapy like those experts.
So, Jessica, you ready to hear it?
Tell me tomorrow.
Give it to us.
I actually don't know if I have words right now that you would want me to say on air.
I do. You can say any words you want. MC's very good at the desk.
No, don't
encourage
that.
Radio.
What do you have to say to me tomorrow?
What do you want to say to Jessica? That's Jessica.
I am just going to say that.
Yes.
Let me think wisely here.
I'm here.
Don't think unwisely. Look, think about everything she's done to you. Give it to her.
She just needs to have a little bit more self-respect and respect for other people.
I slept with your bloke and I liked it.
What do you say to that?
That's a no comment because I'm about to get real West Side now.
Yeah. I don't even know what that means.
It's sort of Mrs. Doubtfire.
You don't want to know what it means. Weird. You don't want to know what it means.
All right, tomorrow, best of luck.
Married at First Sight, back tonight, 7:30, Channel 9. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
I'm sure you've got people talking about this in your Facebook feeds. Dirty John, the TV series and
so
podcast.
So addictive.
Yep.
Can I say that I think that is the most hectic interview that we have ever had on this show, and it's coming up. It is.
Whoa. Yep.
Yeah.
Whoa.
It's hectic with two Ks.
She is the hero of the story. Her name is Tara Newell, an Australian exclusive. That will be at 8 o'clock. But look, you can call the show anytime you like.
Anytime on 131060. Give us a... You know, we're all friends. We're all one big family. Yeah. We have got a call coming through right now. It's from Double Bay, I see. Hello.
Yes. Hello. It's Cameron from Double Bay here. Yes, I'm definitely a woman. Did you play the trumpet so I could go to Derby Day?
No, not yet.
Not yet.
Sadly, I'm banned from Royal Randwick for something I did to Maccabi Diva a couple of years ago. She was coming on to me. I just wanted to call in because I'm still out from my International Women's Day bender. Oh, goodness me. Best one ever. Ashley, quickly, why wasn't I invited to your brunch? That's what I thought you'd say. Well, I spent the day with people who really know how to treat a woman. Carl Stefanovic and I had a champagne and oysters breakfast.
Oh.
You should see Carl shuck my oysters.
Oh.
He's so good at shucking. He's one of the biggest shuckwits you've ever seen in your life. Then I did a film shoot with Dylan Napa, and then Warnie slid into me, my DMs. If you want to slide into Gavin's DMs, I'm Gavin_definitewoman at I'm going to wear Grant Denyer at a hat as a hat.com. Hey, Ash.
Yes, Gavin.
I didn't get through on International Women's Day, probably profiling. I just wanted to say that you're one of the best women in the media.
Why do I think this is
don't
a stick
interrupt a woman. After International Women's Day, I will burn my bra as I wear it.
Okay.
I just wanted to say that you are one of the strongest women in the media because you put up with Ed Cavalier, who's as boring as Bo Ryan, and as lame as Grant Denyer's spray-on beard. Grant,
yes.
Who do you think you're fooling? When you're in a suit for Dancing with the Stars with that beard, you look like a garden gnome going to a court appearance.
Oh, that's really mean, Gavin. Like, if you're going to call up, then you need to be nice.
Grant?
Yes?
What did you give your wife for International Women's Day? Say nothing.
Nothing.
Yeah, that's what I thought you'd say. Next year, why don't you give her a sandwich? A Gavin sandwich. You're the white bread. I'm the mayonnaise.
Okay, all right.
Extra creamy.
Okay, goodbye, Gavin.
Bye, Gavin.
Why do we keep taking these phone calls?
I don't know why we keep taking it. Block the number.
The Michael Jackson Leaving Neverland documentary on Channel 10. You can still see it at 10play.com.au over the weekend. And I can't remember, guys, the last time I sat down and watched or over the journey of the weekend, over 3 hours of a documentary.
Why were you so compelled?
It was extremely well made, and it was a compelling story about two people who for a long time had said, look, nothing happened to me with Michael Jackson. Mm-hmm. And then through their own life experiences, as you see in the sort of last part of the documentary, themselves having children and them getting to a certain age, that couldn't hold it any longer. Mm-hmm. And I was interested in that. Obviously, it was a story that obviously when I was a kid, one of them, Wade Robson, who grew up in Brisbane, grew up in my very early days before we came to Sydney. I was in Brisbane.
Yeah.
And this, I vaguely remember he was on TV all the time when I was a kid and then so on and so forth. So now we've reached the point where the world's sort of starting to see this documentary. And if you saw it, 131060, what did you make of it? Has it changed your opinion of Michael Jackson? Maybe it hasn't. We've already spoken to a number of people who are vehement fans.
Mm, and I'm surprised to hear you in this position because I remember last week you were talking about the fact that these days, like, real trials don't matter. It's trial by Netflix and we watch these things and we're kind of, you know, we change our minds, but it's not the law.
Yep.
Yeah, you were anti these.
So do you feel
I wasn't anti these.
You were
I'm
just
not anti people telling
that,
their story.
Of course.
The idea now that there are no courts, that it's just if you've got a documentary, then that is it.
Yeah,
that
and is popular opinion becomes.
Yeah, because that's part. That's how the like the insane anti-vaxxers. That's how they go. They make a fake documentary. They get it on Netflix, and now we have to pretend to believe them.
Yeah.
So the first grab that I want to play from you. So a lot of the chat around it now is focusing on the parents. How would you let this happen?
Yeah.
How did you let this happen? And I want to play a grab from James Safechuck, who was the American boy. So two boys,
yeah.
James Wade.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And talking about when their son, very, very young, meets Michael Jackson in a Pepsi commercial and then he goes on tour with them. About James sleeping in the same room as Michael Jackson while the parents are getting pushed further and further away. This is what the mother said.
Our room started to get further and further away from Michael's room. And when I asked about it, we weren't even on the same floor now. And I asked about that, and they said, we couldn't get you a suite close to Michael. This is where we could get you the nicest room. That made sense to me. But in Germany, we were like really far away from them. Same thing. We couldn't get you a suite near them.
Now, I don't have kids. You both have kids. I would imagine that there is no human being on earth famous enough or more or trusting that you would trust enough to say, yeah, I'm going to let my 7-year-old child stay in your room and I'm going to be 3 floors away.
Never, never in your wildest dreams. No, of course you wouldn't. Obviously, she sounds like she got swept up with the potential for her son to become famous.
Which is what Michael was saying. I will fix your career. I will do everything for you. But also, embedded in that grab is the amount of people that were obviously knew about it and doing nothing.
Yeah.
So you think Michael Jackson's booking the rooms?
Yeah,
you think Michael
exactly.
Jackson's on Trivago? Going, give us, like, if you got, where's
no,
the closest way?
These people are surrounded by layers and layers and layers of people who know their business, who organize everything, who fix everything. If this is true, and I believe it is, so many people are complicit in this behaviour.
He would be staying in, obviously, in the presidential suites, which would be naturally on different floors and further away than a room you'd put his parents in, but it's all wrong.
But as she arcs up, she arcs about it and they go, no, so now you go further away.
Yeah.
How many people had to know about this and to go,
let's move the parents further.
And so then what's going on in that room? We know about there's details about all of the awful sexual stuff that's going on in Michael Jackson's bedroom. But have a listen to how far he was going with these boys, these young boys. This is James again.
So we were like this married couple. And I say married because we had this mock wedding ceremony. We did this in his bedroom and we like filled out some vows. It's like we're bonded forever.
Wow. Gave him
I want to be sick.
He gave him rings. He took him to jewelry shop to get rings and they would pretend that his hand was the size of a female's hand and then he'd give him the jewelry.
Oh,
it was unbelievable. It was disgusting.
Is it true the last hour is the most powerful of the whole documentary?
First few hours you're angry and then the last hour you're sad as you see these boys, these now men, sort of coming to terms with what happened to them.
Has it changed your opinion? You already had an opinion beforehand, but is it any different now?
No, Michael Jackson is, you can like Michael Jackson's music, but the man was a pedophile. Yeah. The man was a flat-out pedophile.
And the thing is, people say, well, why did, you know, the boys earlier said that he'd done nothing, where they're just changing their mind now because it suits more money. But what people need to understand is that when children especially go through trauma like that and knowing that the world adores this man. So not only are you running the risk that no one will believe you, but you're running the risk because people will then hate you and they will say, you're ruining his career, you're a liar. So for a child and for many people when that trauma happens, you're still a child. Mm-hmm. It's not an adult making these decisions and thinking, can I tell people? It's still that fractured, hurt child. So of course it's going to take you years to come to terms that of course it's going to take you years to open up and have the courage to even admit it happened.
Exactly. Look at the backlash now. Look how much people fans are firing up all over the world. They're renting buses in the UK and putting signs
protesting his innocence, like in the UK. Like, how full on a mental is that?
13 10 60. Have you seen it? Even if you've seen part of it, what are your thoughts on it?
Yeah,
does it change your opinion, Michael Jackson? Maybe think. I don't know. Well, tell us what you thought when you see it. When we come back, I just want to play you a little bit from the brother of Wade, who I think sums up the feelings towards the parents better than anybody else.
All right, 13 10 60. You've seen the documentary. What do you think? Has your stance on MJ changed? Love to chat to you after this.
Can't get enough Today FM breakfast with Grant, Ed and Ash? Download the Today FM app and get the catch-up podcast now.
Ladies and gentlemen. 104.1.
Hello, good morning. How you doing?
Today FM.
We are talking about the Leaving Neverland documentary, which focuses on two now men that were young boys when Michael Jackson befriended them, and they ended up spending over a number of years that they say that Michael Jackson sexually abused them. And we're talking on 13 10 60, if it's changed your opinion of Michael Jackson. What do you think of the documentary if you have seen it? And oddly, today we had Shana Burgess on, who's a Dancing with the Stars judge, Grant, who's been in LA for 9 years.
Yeah.
And she knows Wade, who's an Australian kid who's now a choreographer.
Yeah.
And we were asking her about what was the dance community's response when he came out finally with his story and allegations. And she told us this morning.
The dance industry was so mad at him for putting a stain on Michael's name because Michael influenced so many young dancers.
Now, this is huge when you think about it. Of course, you'd hold on to this if you knew that that's what's waiting for you. Not a lot of people going, well done, so brave, but you did this. You're tarnishing his name. So it is so courageous of these boys to come forward. Now, we did want to hear from you guys because we're all kind of in this horrible, weird situation now where we recognize this guy's made amazing music and so many of our memories are connected to this music. But could it be that he was actually this horrible monster? Teresa in Chester Hill, where are you standing on this? What do you think? What do you feel?
Well, as a parent, I don't understand how, you know, the boy's parents let them stay in the room with him.
Yeah.
I mean, as a parent, you'd be more concerned about your children and where they are and,
I think that she clearly saw Michael as a fast track to the top for her own child, and she's clearly some kind of stage mum, and then just ignored, I think, all the obvious signs.
And I guess he was the most famous person in the world by far. Like,
and you can easily get caught up in that magic, I reckon.
Yeah, that's true. Kiana in Villawood, good morning. Have you seen the documentary?
I did catch the second half of it, and as a parent myself, I can definitely agree that sharing a bed with kids is a bit odd, but I think you can all agree that Michael was a bit of an odd bloke, but...
A bit odd?
I think so. I've watched a few interviews and a few things, and he had a pretty rough childhood.
Do you believe the two boys and what they're saying, Kiana?
I hate to say anyone's lying about that sort of thing, but there was a few things in their statements that I watched, and it just made me think, are they really telling the truth?
What were the things?
Well, with what Wade said, there was one thing that he said, that the last thing that he could remember at 14 or 15, that was the last time. And me personally, you'd remember something like that at that age.
No, but he said that was the end of it, though. That was the last one he remembers because he didn't see him after that.
Yeah, that he remembered. It just made me think, well, you'd kind of remember it at that age.
So do you think Michael Jackson's innocent, or yes or no?
I always thought he was innocent. I never believed that he touched any kids. But again,
Are
you a massive, Michael Jackson fan?
Oh, I love Michael Jackson. Great music.
Mm. Thank you for your call, Kiana. This is, speaking about the parents, the brother of Wade Robson, who the family was separated when they moved to LA. She took Wade, the sister, and left the brother and the father back in Australia.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the brother sums up the position on the parenting better than anybody.
I don't care who some guy is, how do you leave your 7-year-old or 8-year-old kid have sleepovers at their house? I mean, that's just crazy. Like, as a parent, I don't understand how that is even possible.
That's exactly right.
From his mother. Yeah. From his own mother.
Yeah, you can tell the relationship is more than fractured. Sally and Camera, now, you always thought MJ was a bit different, a bit strange. You've watched the documentary. What do you think now?
Look, I absolutely love Michael Jackson, and I watched both series, both the parts of the series, and I think if you watch both of them, I think you have to come out with another side of how you look at Michael Jackson. I just, the way these boys were, I wouldn't say groomed, because when I first saw it, I thought they just really, really loved Michael Jackson. They had a special relationship, a great bond, but then just watching how over time he started to push them away a bit, These boys were sitting on the sidelines waiting to be called by him. He started trying to call them every, like, three or four times a year, but they absolutely loved him. And I just, and just seeing how they are today, I just, these boys, I feel so sorry for them. And I just, as much as I absolutely loved him, my kids absolutely love him, I can't see him the same way anymore. I actually think he did it. I don't think he's innocent at all. I think he's...
So how does that make you feel about, you think he's disgusting? How does it make you feel about his music? Can you now separate the behaviour from the music?
That's a hard question. I don't think I'll ever listen to it the same way. I don't think I'll enjoy it as much as what I will. I wouldn't turn it off, I suppose, but it's not the same music anymore to me.
He just became
a strange sort of man towards the end. And watching him standing on top of the car after his court case because he'd won... and he needed the boys to be pawned in, you know, proclaiming his innocence and stuff. I just feel so sorry for those kids too.
Yeah, that's a good point, Sally, you feel so sorry for what happened to them. Look, two things can be true. Michael Jackson was an incredible musician.
Absolutely.
And a pedophile.
Yeah.
Those two things
can't cancel each other out.
Those two things can be true at the same time.
Yeah, and as a fan of MJ, I think the issue is that you take on some of it. You think, but I loved his music, but I've got these amazing memories, and you start to feel kind of complicit somehow but you can enjoy the music and have those memories and remember those times as a kid, whatever, on the dance floor. But you're absolutely right, Ed. It doesn't change the fact that for all intents and purposes, it does look like this man was very, very dangerous.
Yeah.
And if you haven't seen the doco, you can get it. It's up on 10 Play.
Well, it started out as a podcast, which has now been turned into a series. It is Dirty John, and it follows the story of a lady called Deborah Newell. She meets a guy called John. Mm. Her daughters have some suspicions. Those suspicions turn out to be very, very right. This is a crazy story. It's unbelievable but true. And one of the real-life characters, in fact, she kind of turns out to be the hero of the whole of Dirty John, is on the line right now from her home in Long Beach. Taryn Newell, welcome to Today FM Breakfast.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
It's our pleasure. Now, there are some spoilers, so if you haven't heard, you know, listened or watched, and you are, there's going to be a spoiler, but we can't avoid it.
Yeah.
Tara, this series starts off when we know there's a murder at the end. We assume the whole time, well, I assume the whole time, that John kills someone, but in the end, you kill John. You are the hero. Do you feel like a hero, or is this just still too crazy to even believe?
I mean, now I'm starting to feel that way, but it was just so surreal.
Mm. So what was the first trigger that you realised that something wasn't quite right about John? Why did he seem suspicious to you?
I first met him and he just didn't want to engage in conversation with me. He didn't really want to look me in the eyes, and there just seemed something off about him.
And he became quite controlling towards your mum, didn't he?
Oh yeah, he wanted to control her financials. He didn't want her to see my sister. He had rules for her. Before my mom broke up with him officially, we found out that he went to jail, and when he was in jail one of the times, he cut his stomach open, and then he put poop in it.
What?
Is that to make himself sick so he can get out of jail?
Just to get high off a drug.
Oh, gosh. So you, as these discoveries were made, listening to the podcast, watching the show, so often you kind of get angry at Deborah because you're like, open your eyes. This guy is taking advantage of you. But it seems like you and your sister, you don't have any ill feeling towards your mom. So what is it about it? Do you think she was just an easy target?
My mom is so lovable. She tries to love everyone and looks at the good in everyone. But John was able to convince her that some of the stuff that we were saying was not true. Mm. And he was able to bring her to lawyers that were able to convince her. And so she's kind of hearing like two sides. And in the past, my sister and I, we've reacted not so great towards some of her boyfriends or husbands. So she also had that.
You guys had history. He was putting up a good show. And so those two things sort of conspired to make her think, well, maybe they think that, you know, they're misjudging this guy as well.
Yes.
But the moment it exploded is when your mum, she eventually decided to leave John, and he just spiraled, and that's when you had to step in. To just take us through how serious that was for you at that moment.
John ended up coming after me, and it was my life or his. So in that moment, it was so serious, and I had to get the better end of it.
Wow. And you both
survive.
Well, Tara Newell from the television series and podcast Dirty John, if you wouldn't mind, if you could stick around and tell us what actually happened in the confrontation when John was trying to kidnap you. He had a knife, and what you did to save your own life and that of your family. Tara, could you please stick around?
Oh, yeah.
Miss any of Today FM Breakfast with Grant, Ed and Ash? Download the Today FM app and get the catch-up podcast now.
Ladies and gentlemen. 104.1.
Hello, good morning, how you doing?
Today FM.
We are still talking to Tara Newell, the star, the hero, the unlikely hero of the podcast and television series Dirty John. Thanks for sticking around, Tara.
Thank you.
Now, for those who haven't seen the television show yet or heard the podcast, now there is some spoilers in this, but those spoilers are also somewhat graphic in nature, so just be aware of that. But Tara, when we left off, your mother's now husband slash ex-husband is coming towards you in a car park. He has a knife, and he's going to attack you.
Yeah, so he tried to grab me over by my car when I got out, and then I tried getting away from him and trying to run away at first. And then I couldn't disconnect from him, so I had to fight back.
So you're fighting for your life at this point, Tara?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, fighting for my life.
And how many times was John stabbed?
So I think I stabbed him 13 times.
But you weren't conscious at that moment, were you? You just were in fight or flight mode. You were just got to get away from this guy.
Yeah. No, I don't really remember like stabbing him at first, like I do now, because I have to go back through the memories a lot. But in that moment, I wasn't really like thinking about how many times I was stabbing him. But the last two to the head, I actually kind of gave those two thought.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, if I don't kill him, then he's going to get up. Mm-hmm. And then I watch a lot of Walking Dead, so killing him like a zombie.
Yeah. Make sure
that's actually true. I remember that in the podcast, that you had watched all these things, and they were kind of in your brain. So in the moment, you knew what you had to do to actually save your life, right? Like you would have never thought that you would have had to use this in real life.
I never thought that I would have to use those skills.
When did you realize that he wasn't getting up, that he was dead?
Well, to be honest, like I thought I killed him.
Mm-hmm.
But then the paramedics and people came and they started to revive him.
Were you angry watching them do that? Were you like, come on, this guy tried to kill me, let him die?
Oh, yeah, no, I actually told them, I'm like, don't do that, he'll try to kill you too.
Wow.
And so, but it's their job, and they see someone on the floor, and he doesn't have a knife in his hand at that time, so.
Yeah. How did your mum react to this situation once she found out? What did she say to you when it got this far?
Who told her? Who made that call to say your ex-boyfriend has tried to attack your daughter?
Well, I actually called her because the police they didn't get there quite yet. So I called her and I told her, I'm so sorry I killed your husband. I think I killed your husband. And I said, I told her I knew this would happen because I just had feelings that he was going to come after me.
Wow. And what did she say?
How'd she react?
What did she say? Yeah.
She was hysterical, and she was like, oh no, like, where are you? Let me come to you. Like, I need to be with you. Like, wow. I can't believe it was so shocking, you know? To get a phone call just saying that, I think I killed your husband.
And does she feel guilty still? Because if that was me, I'd feel so guilty.
I think there will always be like
a little bit of guilt that she's will live with, but it has subsided a lot because at one point you have to make amends and get over your stuff and get past that, you know, and not live with so much guilt.
You seem pretty strong and pretty calm about it all. Are you, on reflection, are you okay with it?
I feel like I've talked about it so much that there's kind of a disconnect. And then I've also done EMDR therapy and I've done lots of other therapies too.
Well, you've been, you know, being seen around for the, you know, talking about the show, talking about the podcast, and they're now getting back to that sort of side of things. They are talking about another season because I know the first season's gone very well. I know that you're involved in the first season. Do you know, is there another season of Dirty John coming?
Well, I don't know what I'm allowed to say, but okay. I know that one is in the works, but it isn't about my family.
Okay, it's a completely different true crime story. Well, Tara Newell, you lived it. We watched it, but you lived it from the Dirty John series. Now, hey, thanks so much for speaking to us today. And it sounds like you and your mum are all good. Everything's you guys. How's your relationship these days?
Well, you know, there's always room for improvement, but I feel it's great right now. Oh, thank you.
Now, I know we just played Destiny's Child. Did anyone hear anything extra playing during Destiny's Child?
Race trumpet. There?
I heard
That's
it.
Right.
Or as Kiri, our music director, just called it a boogle.
A boogle? I don't believe it's called a boogle.
That's a bugle, darling.
Yeah, not a boogle.
That's a Grant.
Whoa, that was Grant's mouth.
Thank you.
I hope it was his mouth. Amy from Campbelltown. Amy, did you hear the boogle?
I did. I had it on speed dial ready to go.
So where were you? What were you doing when you heard it?
I've been sitting in the car for 20 minutes and I'm already late for work waiting for
Guess what, Amy? It's been your worth your while because...
Got $1,000!
Yay!
Oh, my goodness. What a way to start the week. Ooh. I'm so grateful. Thank you.
Oh, honestly. Hashtag grateful. Get it, Amy. We're so happy for you.
Easy as that. There'll be another $1,000 up for grabs again tomorrow. So listen out for the boogle.
So emotional. She sounded like that was really going to help her out.
It sounded like it meant something a lot to her. Totally. So we're happy to help, Amy. Well done.
Every day this week, right?
Exactly. It'll happen again tomorrow. The Classics Never Go Out of Style at Derby Day, April 6th at Royal Randwick.
J-Lo. Now, first of all, I have to say, people forget that J-Lo is not only an amazing singer, she's the queen of rom-coms. Mm-hmm. Made in Manhattan,
True.
The Wedding Planner. I'm a huge fan. Not only does she look amazing for her age, she's very, very accomplished. But how's this? She's just sported a massive engagement ring.
I'm just looking at it now.
It's huge. And it is the sixth one she has put on her finger.
Racking up quite a collection.
She's been engaged six times.
Can you run me through them? Run me through the people she's been engaged to, please.
Okay, there was, she was married four times to a waiter, and then there was Chris Judd, the footy player.
It didn't last with the waiter.
No, it didn't. Can you believe it? Chris Judd was her backing dancer. He's so hot.
Was he hot?
Yeah, he was also the backing dancer for 98 Degrees, I believe. That's where I met him.
Has a backing dancer / star relationship ever survived?
No, look at K-Fed, Kevin Federline and Brittany. Mark Anthony, of course, she was married to.
Twins.
Now she's engaged to Alex Rodriguez, who we should note has been in quite a few celebrity romances.
Former baseballer, he has all the money in the world. And I'm just looking here. Alex Rodriguez wrote on his Instagram page, she said yes, which he's got it wrong there. He should have said she always says yes.
It's true. Oh, my God. And I just remember she was also with Ben Affleck.
I know. That was Ben Affleck. Remember?
That.
And P. Diddy. I didn't realize she was with P. Diddy.
She wasn't engaged to P. Diddy, was she? Oh, my gosh.
And when
Wait.
I don't think she was engaged to P. Diddy.
That's wrong information. I'm looking at the producers. Sure. Maxie, are we sure that Jennifer, can you Google that? Because I don't remember that.
Look at his greatest hits. Cameron Diaz, he's been with Kate Hudson and Madonna, old Rodriguez.
He's obviously got a massive heart. There's no way he
I've seen the heart.
Endowed.
It's on her finger right now.
Jesus.
I would like to know, that's six engagements, four marriages. And I think you two are being cynical. I think if you put it out there on 131060... Nah. That love can, you don't know when love's going to strike. And I think that
a lot, apparently.
If we ask people, how many times have you been engaged or married? I think you would be surprised how many times people have been engaged and married and how happily it's worked out.
No, no way. She's only been engaged and married because she's famous and you can get away. And that's what they do because they're bored.
It's fleeting.
And they need to stay in the papers.
And they love a headline.
Exactly. That's why you get engaged. No normal person does that.
You get engaged.
J-Lo and Diddy. Engaged.
What?
Yay!
Mm-hmm. I just forgot.
Confirmed.
How many times have you, perhaps it's maybe, you know what the other one is, how many times maybe your parents, your father slash mother, how many times in your life?
A little bit further on in life.
If you got someone, 131060, how many times engaged and married and MC?
If you call us, ultimate race day package yours, $100 to spend at Pierre Hadid hair salon, fancy, $100 glam hair corner so you can get a dress for the day and we'll chuck your tickets to Derby Day at Randwick Apples.
Hang on, so we're doing hair, clothes and event.
Exactly. Maybe you could get engaged for the seventh time. You could meet someone at the races. We don't know.
I guarantee
Marry Maccabi Diva.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Did you just reuse a joke that Gavin definitely a woman called?
I was wondering why it was in front of my mind.
That's true.
That's it. I'm out of here.
131060. We want to know how many times have you been engaged or married and we'll chat to you next.
Jennifer Lopez is in her sixth engagement.
Six.
And she's in her 50s, so really.
She is 49, young lady.
Well, yeah. She's a year off. Let's say you're not really of marriage age till you're 20, which means in 40, so every, on average, what, 8 years she's been engaged. I respect that.
How does she still muster the excitement? That's what I want to know.
It's so true.
First thing one.
Yay. Yes, I'll do it.
Yeah. What's your name again? Oh, yes, of course.
How much are you worth again?
So on 131060, how many times have you or someone you know, how many times have they been engaged / married? Because you two are so cynical, love may strike a number of times. And Laura from Penrith, Laura.
Hi, guys.
Who has love struck many times?
So my dad was actually engaged 3 times before he met my mum.
Whoa. So how old was he when he met your mum?
He was about 25 when he met my mum.
Wow, he had a good crack.
Wow.
Yeah.
What happened with the other three? Did he call them off or did the ladies call them off?
I think maybe one he got sort of like thrown to the side a little bit and then the other two he called off.
Oh, and how long have your mum and dad been together then now?
Almost 32 years.
Oh, that's nice.
Practice makes perfect, everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he was young. I mean, 25. J-Lo's in her 50s now.
Just because a man engages, tries to get engaged to everyone he meets in his 20s doesn't mean.
Rihanna in Penrith, this is about your dad.
Hi.
We surely can't beat 4 marriages off 6 engagements. What's happened to your dad?
7 weddings, 2 times to the same woman.
Whoa!
Oh,
7 times.
And what?
Yeah, my mum was number. Mum was number 2. So number 1 and number 3 was the same lady. So I was in the middle.
So 1, then mum, then the first one again, and then 4 more since then.
Correct.
How many times have you been to your father's wedding?
Probably 5 or 6 times.
Surely by the 3rd one, you just think, I'm not buying a new dress for this crap.
Absolutely.
Like, do you put on a proper wedding each and every time, or come 5, 6, or 7, it's just at the registry?
No, it's a proper wedding every single time.
And when you're standing there and your dad's saying to number 6, I'll love you forever, how does he even pretend?
Look, there was a little bit of eye rolling and putting with my stepbrothers and myself. But look, it has lasted about 10 years now, so hopefully it was a lucky charm.
I mean, is your father the inventor of Married at First Sight, or is he just
904?
Good on him.
Monday in the books.
That was a wonderful morning, wasn't it? I hope you guys listening have a fantastic day. I hope you get to work and you get a pay rise. I hope your boss says, you know what, mate, go home and put your feet up.
Well, if you just listen to this show every day, there's a good chance you'll just win money anyway. That's so if it doesn't come from work, you know, just come to us.
Yeah, $104,000 you're giving with our secret sound, plus $1,000 a day.
We've got a Boogle playing every now and then too.
And Alpha Bucks as well.
But let's not forget, boy. It's not just that you can win. You can also get yourself tickets to Dancing with the Stars tonight, mate.
Yeah, I've got a double pass to give away right now. So if you want to come and see Dancing with the Stars live in the flesh in our amazing auditorium, which is in Fox Studios in Sydney, call in now, 131060. Got a double pass
and
to give away.
Who's going to go tonight, do you reckon? Take a guess.
Who's going to lead the competition?
Who do you think will get eliminated?
Curtly Ambrose.
And if you, the reason we're snickering is because we had the lovely Shana, who is the Aussie judge, who's in the show. Now, she spoke to us earlier this morning in the 6 o'clock hour, so you may not have heard it. And we had two double passes to give away then. And what I did, Lundo, is I was pretending that Shana had brought in the double passes.
And I knew what was going on. I was playing along.
Everybody
I thought,
knew what was going on.
That's lovely of him. Mm. He's made her look good, pretended that she's brought along a double pass.
Some would say too clever, but anyway.
Well, let's see how it played out. Shana Burgess, you've brought in a double pass for people. These are sold out tickets. Grant Daniel, you've got a double pass. So if you'd like to go along to tonight's show.
Yep, I've got two spare double passes. They are my own stash.
What I did there is you were listening before that. What I did is I said I pretended one was from Shana.
One was from Shana.
So that you could have one as well.
Well, you just ripped that away from me, didn't you? That's awesome. Thanks for that, Grant.
Oh, Granny.
I was looking down at my sheet and I knew I had a job to do. And
at least your eyes were open. Sometimes he just closes his eyes and then you know you're gone, skis.
I like to build an atmosphere in my mind when I'm doing radio. You guys should get on board.
I wish I was your... I wish we could swap brains for a day. There's a fair bit going on in mine and a lot of it's pointless. But yours, it's just like, just sort of cavernous. Do you know what I mean? It's
tumbleweeds.
Just like, it's just nice. What's in there?
Well, if I hear a bird tweet, I'll just sit there and just look at it for a while, about 15 minutes, standing under a tree branch.
Miss any of Today FM Breakfast with Grant, Ed and Ash? Download the Today FM app and get the catch-up podcast now.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, good morning, how you doing?
More music, more variety. Over 3 hours commercial-free.